Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts,
as we also have forgiven our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
Sounds better with a British accent, doesn't it? I think everything sounds better that way. Definitely sounds better from the voice of a child. You know, over the last year, we put a challenge out there. We've been on this journey together. A journey together to read through the scripture. A journey together to walk through God's word and to see how that can change us. And I know for many of us, it's been educational. It's been insightful. It's been challenging in many ways. For some, it's been eye-opening. I know people have talked to me and shared some testimonies. It's fascinating because we've had parents that have said, hey, I'm going to do this with my kids. I actually had several kids come up and say, hey, I want to do this on my own. I'm going to read a chapter every single day. While others have taken on the challenge to read 3 or 5 or 7 or 10. And I don't know where you've been and what you've happened in your life, but I know that as I've read through the scripture this past week, this past year, it literally has been transformational for me. And the one thing that it's done for me is it's helped me to realize that it's one thing to study God's word, but it's another thing to allow God's word to talk to you. It's a big difference to read through words on a page. It's another thing to have those words almost be read into your life. And I want to say, keep reading. Keep studying. Keep growing in the Lord in that sense. And you may say, hey, well, I know we're getting ready to start a series on prayer. Why are we talking about reading the Bible? Because I honestly believe they go hand in hand. One thing is to allow God to speak to you. The other thing is for you to have a chance to speak with him. And it's fascinating over the last year, if I've noticed one thing about my own life and my own prayer life is that many times it's weak because I don't know that I even still have the faith that I need to have myself. The psalmists cry out in prayer and praise and petition to our God in heaven who created all things. David cried out, create in me a pure heart as he was confronted by his sin with Bathsheba. And then in that same verse, there we are, in that same verse, he cried out and he said, renew a steadfast spirit in me. Because he knew that only God could do that. It wasn't something he could do on his own. It wasn't something he could seek on his own. That God was the one that could change his life in that way. Paul hastens us to pray continually in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And James tells us to pray when we're in trouble, to pray when others are sick, or when we or even others try to overcome sin. Why? Because of what he says in the end of that verse, that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and what? And effective. You see, there's power in the name of Jesus. We just sang that song. There's power in his name. And as we cry out to him, as we call out to him, he hears our voice and he wants to hear our voice as we talk to him, as we cry out to him. And honestly, I truly believe that God's expecting more from me than just a flimsy faith and my, let me call it, desperate measure prayers. Only when I have things that I really need or people I really need to pray for. And God wants me to pray more. He wants me to pray more expectantly, knowing that beyond a shadow of a doubt that he will or already has answered my prayers. And when you start to discover that in your life, your prayer life will change drastically. You and I serve an awesome God, correct? I mean, if there's a one place that the word awesome should be used, it should be used in the sense of God. A God who created the heavens and the earth. I mean, you can walk through the miracles of the Old Testament and just know that he's there. A God who made the sun stand still in the sky so that a battle could be won. Who parted waters, won battles, saved some from the fiery furnace, rescued one from the lion's den. That's the God that you and I serve. That's the God that you and I cry out to, that we pray to each and every day. And it's so important for us to understand that and know that. And yet, is that how we pray? Do we pray knowing that power in God? Do we pray understanding what God can do for us and with us in life? My guess is probably not. I read every morning and I pray every morning before I read. I walk through my prayer list, and yes, I include praises along the way. But I don't know that I pray enough. I don't know that I pray, as James says, because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and it's effective. Many times I'm just caught up in prayer when somebody says, hey, can you pray for, you fill in the blank. And how often are your prayers just a list of names and a list of problems that you want to lay out before God? And yes, he hears those prayers. And listen, he wants to hear those prayers. I'm not saying that. He listens to every name and every person, and he knows them. He knows how many hairs they have on their head. Many times we don't know that he really hears because he doesn't answer the way we want him to. But our prayers must be, let me say this, more than just desperate cries for help. And you and I need to figure out how to pray. I have taught the idea of prayer so many times in so many different ways to different youth groups, from our kids in junior church to our junior high to our senior high, what is in youth ministry, to young adults, to older adults. That so many times I think we've taught it so many times, how do people not get it? And ultimately is just because prayer is not something that could be taught. Prayer is something that must be caught. You and I must catch it in our lives and understand the difference that it can make and how it can truly change and affect our lives. We're going to look at Luke chapter 11, just one verse. It's the very familiar verse that comes right before his version of the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to jump over to Matthew and look at the Lord's Prayer itself. You may go, well, I've looked at this 100 times. Let me tell you, every time that you look at it, you'll see something different. Because listen, if you want to learn something in life, who do you go to? Do you go to the person that doesn't know anything about it? Or do you go to the person that knows everything about it? When I wanted to learn how to build something, I don't go to a plumber. If I'm going to learn how to build something out of wood, I go to a carpenter. And you go to those people that know something. You go to the expert. You go to those people that can model stuff. And our expert when it comes to this idea of prayer is Jesus. He modeled it for it. He taught it for it. 17 times in the Gospels, there are different ideas of what he talks about with prayer. Whether it's when he prayed or how he prayed or who he prayed for or why he prayed. Over and over again, he models for us prayer. So, Luke 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So this morning, it's not anything I'm going to say. This is literally, we are going to walk through the Lord's Prayer, and he is going to teach us how to pray. Why? Because he's the example. He's the model. He's the guru as far as that's concerned. And no one had a more intimate relationship with his dad than he did. So why not go to him and ask him? I want to challenge you today that I wholeheartedly believe that prayer can change your life. I haven't talked to you for the last 365 days about reading the Word if I didn't believe that it could change your life. I know men and I know women that have read through the Bible every single year for 20 years. And I admire those people almost more than anyone because of their dedication and their love for God. And if we believe that in reading, we should believe that even more so on our knees in prayer. So I want to challenge you for the next 21 days. We're going to have 3 sermons on this. Hopefully you'll learn something different every week. So for the next 21 days, I would encourage you to find a place to pray. Maybe that's in your car. I can't do that. Too many people cut me off, and then non-prayer words come out. You know, it's like, love you! Okay, no. It's one of those things. I can't do that. Some people can do that. Maybe you're hiking in the woods. Maybe that's your place alone with God, and that's awesome. Do it. Maybe it's your morning walks, your morning hikes. Maybe it's your times when you're alone in that sense. Find a place, find a purpose, find a reason to pray. And do me a favor, just simply talk to God. We make it so difficult. We make it so hard. Crazy, I don't know if you about you, but have you ever been to a seminar or a workshop or a worship service somewhere or a luncheon or even watched the preacher or somebody on TV and they say this prayer and you're like, oh man, I wish I could pray like that. Guess what? God hears your prayers just like that because he just wants to hear your voice. And I believe that's how the disciples felt when they heard Jesus pray. God, can I pray just like that? Can I pray with that kind of compassion? Can I pray with that kind of emotion? Can I pray with that kind of oneness and feeling in my life? Listen, it's not that the disciples didn't know how to pray. I mean, let's face it, 4 of them were fishermen. We have all been fishing for like an hour or 2 hours and not caught anything. And guess what? We know how to do really well. Lord, please. You know, when you're in the middle of the boat, in the middle of the lake, you pray. Author and preacher Mark Batterson said this about prayer, and I want you just to listen to this. Nothing is more important or powerful than prayer. It's the difference between you fighting for God and God fighting for you. It's the difference between the possible and the impossible. The difference between intimacy with God or ignorance without him. It's the difference between being the best you can do and the best God can do. Friends, I don't know about you, but in my life, I need the best that God can do with me. And Jesus knew this, and he modeled it. I'm sure they had watched Jesus for hours. They had seen him go off by himself in the morning, at night, and different times. And that's why they just cry out to him and say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And we all need to hear just how he answered them. Because my guess is, and I won't ask you this, I bet none of us can raise our hands and said, hey, this past week or this past month, I prayed too much. Because I don't think there's such a thing as too much prayer. So, Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles open up there because we're going to walk right through this. Starting with verse 9, it says, this then is how you should pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. Here's how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is power in those words. There's power in those words because they come from Jesus, directly from his mouth, directly to our ears off of this written page. And there's power in that sense as we listen to them and as we understand them. Listen, there are 4 things, and I know I'm way out of the 3 items for a sermon. There are 4 things that we can learn from this. And they're simple. And the 4 things that we simply need to learn. Number 1, that you and I should pray regularly. Notice that Jesus didn't say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. You and I are called to pray. So when do you do that and how often? You can answer that. You can take your little spot for sermon notes on the back of your notes, and you can write down, this is when I do it. And then I challenge you in 21 days to look back at this list and go, now how many times a day do I do it? How often do I do it? Listen, if you want to learn how to hit a little white ball off of a tee, or if you want to practice with a little larger ball and hit it with a bat, if you want to learn how to hit a larger ball off your foot, if you want to learn how to play the guitar, you want to learn how to play the piano, what do? You practice. And sometimes we need to practice when it comes to prayer, which means you just do it over and over and over again until you feel more comfortable with it, until you realize who you're talking to, and you realize that he is not going to judge you for anything that you say because of the words that come out of your mouth and that come from your heart. We just need to do it more and more and more. We need to find time in the morning and in the afternoon and the evening. Whatever that looks like for you, whatever time is best for you. I'm not telling you when to pray. You need to figure that out. But find a time that works. And get to know your best friend. Get to know your Father in heaven. He wants to hear his children's voice. I know when my kids were little, the one thing that I loved to hear more than anything else was my kids running through the house, yes, and yelling, Daddy, Daddy. Those were my favorite words. And they probably always will be my favorite words. Other kids can say them. Other things, I may hear somebody else say that to their dad. Doesn't mean as much as to hear it from my own kids. And my youngest at times still calls me daddy. And when she does, I smile. I almost cry inside. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to cry out, Abba, Father. He wants to hear our voice. Cry out to him. Then you've got to pray privately. It's not how loud, it's not how many conversations, it's that you pray privately. Why do I say this? Prayer is not a spectator sport. Let me say it this way, and I know this, I say this, some of you are going to go, I don't even know what that is. How many of you remembered a corded telephone? Okay, some of you are going to laugh. Wait, Emmy, you remember a corded telephone? Wow, okay. When I was a kid, we had one telephone in the house, one. And it started with the old turn dial. And then we went push button, but mom and dad still wouldn't pay for that service. So when you pushed a button, you could still hear it go, okay? But if we wanted to have a private conversation with someone, our idea of a private conversation was the telephone hung in the kitchen, and it was right beside the basement door. So we always made mom buy at least a 6-foot telephone cord so that we wanted a private conversation. We could open the basement door, walk into the stairway, sit down on the landing and shut the door. That was our idea of being private. Now listen, I want you to think about that. Why? Because there were things that were said sometimes in telephone calls that we didn't want our parents to hear. And sometimes there are things in prayer life, in your own private time, your own secret moment with God that you want to cry out to him out loud, God, I need this in my life, or I need you to do this. And you don't want the world to hear. So find that private spot. Jesus tells us literally to go into our house, go into our room and shut the door. He's pretty specific with where to pray. To find that prayer closet, someplace where you can be alone, to get away from those distractions. And I know for some of you that quiet is easy. I know for others, quiet is scary. You don't like to be where it's quiet. Some of you just need music going all the time. I can't do that. I am the world's worst multitasker. If I'm working on a sermon, if I'm working on a lesson in my office, and somebody walks in the door and goes, hey, Jim, gone. I mean, the thought is gone. Everything is gone. It's just the way I am. You can ask Dee, when I work on stuff at home, the office door is shut. The TV's not allowed to be too loud. I don't play music in the background. I can't do it. My mind just cannot focus on two or three things at the same time. So when I pray, I need to be alone, unless we're praying together. I need to have that quiet time myself. And some of us need that time, that gear one time, let's call it that, where we can shift down out of the fastest gear we can possibly go and slow all the way down to where we slow down and we can just take time and be with God. So maybe you need to set the mood. For some of you, it may be a candle burning. It may be a little cross. It may be a reminder. You may have a kneeling bench or a table. And you need to find that place where you can be alone with God. Then we need to pray sincerely. It's not about formulas or rituals or memorization. God wants you to speak from the heart. He tells them not to babble. It's not about vain repetition or cliches. It's easy to use, let me call it this way, sanctified jargon. We talk about, we use big Bible words. God doesn't care about big Bible words. He wants to hear from you. I want you to think about this. How many times have you prayed? You're getting ready to go on a trip and you say, Lord, be with me as I go. I bet every one of us have done that. You don't need to pray that prayer. You really don't. You can. But guess what? He's going with you whether you like it or not. He's going to be with you. Matthew 28:20 says, surely I am with you always. God's there with you. The word Emmanuel literally means God with us. You can't get away from God. So he's going with you whether you like it. So why not instead say, God, let me as I go on this vacation, this trip, that I can feel your presence and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are walking beside me. And there's a difference in those two prayers. Because he wants to hear from your heart. He tells us in Psalms, tells us to pour out your heart to him. Remember, you're talking to your dad, to your father. Tell him what's on your mind and your heart. And then we get into the details, and I'm going to walk through this quickly. He tells us to pray specifically. Yes, we can pray for our needs. We can pray for our trials. We can pray for strength to overcome. I'm not saying that. But he tells us, here's the model and here's how to pray. First and foremost, don't forget who he is. He's our Father. There it is. Talked about that already. He's sovereign. He created the heavens and the earth. Yes, he is omnipotent. He is majestic. He is almighty. We need to fix our eyes on him and not on us. So it's hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. We forget that many times. And he's the God who is in heaven. And then we need to pray for his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not about me. God, let me put your will first in my life, in my marriage, in my career, in my money, in my relationships, in my church. Be first and foremost in my life. And then he tells us to give us this day our daily bread, our needs. Yes, it's the basic necessities, but it's okay to ask for a little more. To ask. In Philippians 4:6, Paul wrote, and everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's okay to ask. To forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm going to say something, and I'm not saying this to hurt anyone, but I want to say this. When you pray, make sure that you're not the obstacle. Many times we have sin in our life, and that's what blocks us from really speaking to God. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him for a chance to move on. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Don't forget to come back to praise. We start with praise. We end with praise. We give God the glory because he is the only one that deserves our prayer. And then it's what? It's how do we end our prayers? Amen. Do you know why? The word literally means, let it be so. So when you pray and you ask, did you expect God? God, let it be so. Amen. It's not with a question. It's with an exclamation point that God answers our prayers. So yeah, we've walked through some details. We will literally walk through this model prayer. And I want to encourage you to understand what that means to us. The difficult thing about prayer is that many times it seems unnatural. Why? Because We live in a society that is so self-centered, that is so self-sufficient, that we have a hard time relying on someone else for anything. And prayer is turning it over to God and allowing Him to work. Friends, over the next 3 weeks, as we talk about this, we're going to look at some stories from the Old Testament, and we're going to look at an amazing story from the New Testament, one that's very familiar, and I know that you're going to understand. And I hope that you capture this idea, this desire to be on your knees and to pray. James picked up the nickname Camel Knees in the New Testament because he was on his knees so much, his knees literally looked like that of a camel from what they say. May we have camel knees. May we be on our knees so much that God says, hey, I know you. I know your heart, and I know your soul. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about two things. Is that number one, we need to pray because we want to. We need to pray because we need to. I want to encourage you to understand those things each and every day. Maybe you've never accepted Christ in your life. It starts, first and foremost, with knowing Him. It starts with accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and saying, hey, I need to know who He is and be baptized. That's when prayer really begins. It's a journey of repentance, a change of life, and a change of heart. But for many of us, we already know that. For many of us today, we need to take time as we sing a song to necessarily not sing, but to say, God, I need you in my life. I can't do it on my own. Capture my heart. Speak to my soul. And create in me a pure heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit in me. Father, thank you for who you are and your amazing love for us. Father, thank you that we don't have to walk this road alone. The many times in life we think that we do. We think we can do it on our own, that we don't need to talk to anyone else, that we don't need to just close our eyes and pray. Father, when that happens, our faith is weak. Renew that spirit in us. Strengthen us so that when we find that place, we find that time that we can pour out our hearts to you and our lives to you, that you can change us from the inside out. You can make us new. You can make us whole. You can refresh our spirit and our soul and make us truly want to walk with you and need to walk with you each and every day. Guide us this morning, Lord, as we stand and as we sing. In your name.